Welcome to the Untold Tales audio anthologies. Written by Chris Morton and narrated by Melissa Del Toro Schaffner. Contacts. When Kyle put on his lenses that morning, the walls of his bedroom, usually tinged vermilion, were now staring back at him in shiny aquamarine. At first, he put this down to a glitch in his contact lens feed, something the system would soon self-correct. Everything else, after all, was where and how it should have been. The mauve carpet, the desk, and mirror. His appearance held no minor surprises, as the bedroom door opened smoothly to his kitchenette, with not so much as a rumble of complaint. Kyle decided that he rather liked aquamarine. But three times he missed the coffee pot, his feed directing him just a few inches to the right. Three times he almost burnt his hand trying to compensate. And while his info was telling him the cooker was fully functional, he knew damned well that it had been playing up for weeks. The temperature of the coffee, too. The information was wrong. He liked it tepid, not hot. Tentatively, he took a sip. "But it's perfect," he said out loud. Wondering for a moment if in fact it was, Kyle went back to preparing breakfast, shaking his head and whistling nonchalantly. He grabbed some ham from the refrigerator, selected a familiar tune from his morning mix, took up a chopping board, an apple from the fruit bowl, and some tomatoes and butter. But when the toast popped up 10 seconds before his feed predicted, Kyle stopped again and decided to investigate. "Get me support," he said, placing the knife down and staring ahead. There was a crackle as the connection was made. "How may I help you?" came a synthetic female voice. Kyle turned around, putting his hands on the draining board, leaning against it and looking up.
"No, no, no!
I don't want to talk to a robot," he said. Kyle touched his quiff. He was a young man, good-looking and fashionable. He had a steady job and a steady life, but he held the impatience of youth. "Please select the category of your inquiry." "My feed's playing up. Information incorrect. Please specify." Kyle sighed. "Probably nothing," he replied. He turned back around, picked up the knife, and began slicing a tomato. His feed was telling him that the said fruit was perfectly ripe. "Couple of things, that's all. Says the hob's been repaired, but that's not scheduled till Thursday. And the bedroom walls have changed color."
"Anything else?"
"Yeah," said Kyle. "The coffee pot." He paused as the music playing in sync changed to a song he didn't recognize. "Your coffee pot is also in need of repair?"
"No," said Kyle.
"Look, no offense, but I'd rather talk to a human."
"Putting you through."
The song increased in volume. It was a classical piece, soothing and not altogether unpleasant. Kyle took up another tomato.
"Mr. Kyle Winters?"
"That's me," Kyle said, slicing through the red pulp.
"A problem with your system?"
This time it was the voice of a young man. The tone was friendly, yet professional.
"I see here you've mentioned the change in the color of your bedroom wall."
"Aquamarine," confirmed Kyle.
I see. Just fixing that. If you go in there now, Mr. Winters, you should find we've changed it back to your pre-programmed setting."
Kyle stopped slicing.
"As easy as that, eh?"
"Quite. As easy as that. And were there any other problems today, Mr. Winters?" Kyle shook his head as the unfamiliar music continued to play. He made another grab for the coffee pot and again reached too far to the right. He glanced at the hob.
"It says here in my readings that the surface cooker's working fine, but it wasn't due to be repaired until Thursday. I'd say..."
"Have you tried turning it on, Mr. Winters?"
"Tried? Yes, of course."
Kyle reached across the hob. It began to light up.
"Well, hold on. I didn't expect that to happen."
"No problems with the heat?"
"No, I mean, hell, I could have sworn. I mean, the reading says..." "Is the setting to your liking?"
Kyle's feed showed the temperature of the hob warming up. 28 degrees, 29. "It's fine," said Kyle, as he stared at the brightening hob.
"And can I do anything else for you today, Mr. Winters?" The music changed to a piano concerto. Thanking the man, Kyle decided to leave it at that, to say no more. He hung up the connection and went back to his breakfast. But when he returned to the bedroom later, the walls were still aquamarine. On his way to work, Kyle was having trouble boarding the subtrain.
"Says here,"
the conductor spoke,
"that you're not assigned to be heading south."
"Heading south? Heading south? What do you mean, not assigned? I take this route every day," said Kyle, pacing around frantically.
"To where exactly, may I ask?"
"To the Sears Bank, to my job. I'm an executive there." The conductor nodded his head.
"Executive, eh?" He looked over at his colleague. "Got ourselves an executive here, Frank."
He looked back at Kyle, eyeing him up and down.
"How'd you go land yourself a job like that, son?"
"Look, bud," said Kyle, running fingers through his quiff. "I'm an administrator in the hard currency section. My job holds responsibility. Clients for pickups? You understand. If I'm not there..."
"Says here you're scheduled to be heading to the east side."
"And to do what, exactly?" said Kyle, now looking exasperated. Around them, commuters were busily boarding the train. From further up the platform, a whistle began to blow.
"Got you down here as a super at Gardner's Paradise. Due in for punching at 10 on the dot."
The conductor looked up, frowning.
"I'd say you'd better be getting a move on, Mr. Winters."
Kyle decided to walk. It would take him, according to his readings, 50 minutes to get to the bank if he followed the underground travelator. Amongst the crowd, Kyle swept through the city's pedestrian tunnels. He selected aquarium visuals and chose a sports program to listen to. Last night's baseball match was being torn apart by the experts. Did he even like baseball? For a moment, Kyle couldn't quite remember ever having more than just a passing interest in the sport. Kyle continued to listen, avoided bringing up his day's schedule, and instead focused on the three sharks swimming above him. "So real," he thought, marveling at their swift animation. When was the last time he'd selected an aquarium app? Kyle assessed his history data, and there it was. 3 years ago to the day, he'd been living in Waikato in his last year of university. At that time, he'd had a girlfriend. Jessie, her name was. Delving further into the data, he discovered that they'd been on a trip to the Samara provinces. It had been evening in a forest enclosure, angelfish, sea jellies, and dolphins swimming in the air just above them. "I love you," she'd told him, squeezing his hand in the night. It had seemed as if the moment would never end, but now, 3 years later, he had almost forgotten. Whatever happened to Jessie? Her name appeared, and the info read that she was living in the east side now. She was from the same city, never so far away, but they drifted apart when her profession took her to new heights. She was an executive for the Dobson's conglomerate. His father had got him the job at the bank, and like this travelator, life had dragged him along in a new direction. In the open air, amongst the scrapers and traffic, Kyle joined a new travelator following the signs that would take him to the bank. In his feed, a flashing red warning had come up, telling him that he was going in the wrong direction. But it had to be incorrect, for he could even see the bank's building from where he stood, a tall square block in the distance, and Kyle began to walk faster, ignoring the message that had now turned to audio. "You are going the wrong way." A holomap appeared in front of him, arrows guiding him to the next subtrain exit. "What the hell's wrong with my data?" Kyle said out loud. "What is it with today? God damn!" But his fellow commuters hardly noticed this outburst as they stared ahead silently, engulfed in the entertainment their feeds were processing. When Kyle made it to the bank, he all but ran to the front entrance. The man at the door he recognized. "Hi," Kyle said, out of breath and panting. You wouldn't believe the morning I've had."
"May I help you, sir?"
The man was a burly security officer. On duty most days, he was the regular guy Kyle would pass on the way in. He had a daughter in community college. His wife was in advertising. He and Kyle were on first name terms, but now this man was staring at Kyle as though he didn't know him at all.
I'm sorry, sir, but I don't recognize your identification.
The expression on the security guard's face. He knew full well who Kyle was, but he was also registering something they could both see on their feeds. A flashing red signal.
What are you doing, man?
I'm sorry, sir.
The security guard looked away, unable to meet Kyle's eye.
All appointments for personal conferences must be booked ahead.
An icon now appeared in Kyle's visual data, with the Sears Bank logo and the link to the help desk.
Okay, I get it,
said Kyle, standing back and opening his arms.
I get it, because my info's not right, yeah? But the least you can do here, Jim, is at least register it's me.
I'm sorry, sir.
The security guard was stony-faced.
Listen, said Kyle. Ignore your data.
He pulled the zip of his jacket, then thumped at his chest.
It's me, Jim, standing right in front of you.
There was a hand on Kyle's shoulder, and he turned to see a community officer standing by his side.
This man giving you trouble?
It's all right,
the security officer replied.
Have you ever seen this man before?
Never in my life.
Jim's stony expression was still unchanged. The officer turned to Kyle.
What is your designation? Why aren't you in Sector 6 East?
Kyle stepped back.
Let me guess, he slurred. Gardener's Paradise, right? I mean, do I even look like a gardener to you? What do you have me down as? That what you have me down as?
He swiveled back to the security guard.
Oh, come on, Jim. How many times have we greeted each other? Your daughter? How's the classes going?
Follow me, sir,
said the officer, grabbing Kyle under the arm.
Tell him, Jim. I mean, who's going to do the job if
good old Kyle Winters ain't in the building?
Kyle pulled away, resisting.
Check your info, both of you. If I don't go in, then who's going to do my job?
The community officer looked to the security guard, who nodded back, saying,
All employees are accounted for.
Who did you let in, Jim? Who did you let in if it wasn't me?
But the community officer was pulling Kyle down the stone steps.
How about we go somewhere nice and quiet where we can talk about this, good and proper?
I tell you, there's been a mistake. There's a bug in my data, see? It's a setup. Check support and they'll confirm.
The community officer, however, was only pulling him harder. A white community pod car was at the street level in front of them. Kyle broke free and began to run. Just past the pod car was a row of green and yellow taxis. Kyle dived into the first.
Get me out of here!
Please specify a destination, replied the taxi's computer.
Anywhere, just go!
Three community officers were now approaching.
Mr. Kyle Winters, said the taxi, scanning his eyeballs. You are designated to be in the East District.
Yeah, take me there, go!
The taxi pulled away just as the officers were upon them. It pulled into the slipstream of traffic. Kyle's shirt was damp, and his quiff had now fuzzed into a bird's nest of panic.
Get me support,
he said, staring ahead. Classical music began to play.
How may I help you?
But the synthetic female voice was crackling, distant.
The connection, can you hear me?
Mr. Winters. The connection broke. In his visual feed, Kyle saw a blue icon, a warning from the community officers. But it was blue, not red. He was heading in the correct direction, and they were no longer in pursuit.
So let me guess, said Kyle, leaning back uncomfortably.
You're taking me to the gardener's world, right? Gardener's Paradise, corrected the taxi. That is where you work.
Oh, yeah? And for how long have I held that job down?
2 years, came the taxi's reply.
You don't say,
said Kyle, gazing out of the window. Pod cars, buses, heavy transporters, and here he was, just another insect in the hive.
So, what exactly do I do there?
You're a sales assistant in the indoor planting division. You specialize in gardens for miniature spaces.
Kyle settled back into the seating, Real gardens for the privileged, eh?
Correct, answered the taxi. No hollows for them. Smell that fresh vegetation. Stick a banana plant in your living space. Can't beat the real thing.
Sounds like you are a natural.
Oh yeah, that's me. Kyle Winters, the seller of banana plants. Camadoria palm. Kyle trailed off.
So, how did I get into that line of work?
A logical progression from your university course. You studied botany.
I did, didn't I?
Kyle smiled, remembering.
But my father, he wanted me...
And your wife works in the next building.
My wife?
Mrs. Jessica Winters. You were married on Psalm Island. Your father paid for the wedding.
Kyle stared at the taxi's dashboard.
Where are you getting this garbage?
Apologies, sir, the taxi spluttered. But it is all in your file. Sometimes my passengers do not quite know what they are saying, but it is in my programming to answer any question that appears to be directed at me.
Sure. Kyle was leaning forward. And you got a picture of this Jessica Winters?
This cab is not fitted with hollow imagery.
Kyle leaned back.
No. That figures.
Your contact feed does not have access.
Kyle tried, but now there was more than just a crackling of loose connection. The feed info seemed to be suffering some sort of overload. All he was getting was an access denied message.
Can you tell me where I live?
He asked the taxi's computer.
You have an apartment on Choir Street, south.
Well, at least you've got that right. Kyle ruffled at his hair.
And a house on Smith's Canal.
A what?
You share it with your wife. She works for the Dobson's Conglomerate.
Dobson's Conglomerate, eh? Kyle was looking thoughtful. How about we take a little detour to this house of mine? I'd like to see it.
Right you are, sir.
Through the windows of the taxi, Kyle watched them exit the slipstream. He had never been to this area of the city, only seen it through hollows. The buildings here were all residential, square blocks of brilliant white that gleamed in the sun. Gardens and front gates. The taxi pulled up next to one of the houses and stopped. The door of the cab swung open.
This is where I live?
Number 2, 27 Lemon Street, owned by Mr. and Mrs. Kyle Winters.
Okay, said Kyle, smartening down his jacket and with fingers running through his quiff. This I gotta check out.
He stepped out of the taxi and slowly, almost drunkenly, approached the house, unsure of himself and quite unable to walk in a perfectly straight line. At the front gate, his eyes were scanned.
Welcome home, Mr. Winters, came an automated message.
The door swung open to a path of gravel leading through shallow vegetation and flower beds. There were fountains and ridiculously tiny palms. The house was 5 stories, block-shaped like the others, with white walls and mirrored windows reflecting the late morning sunlight. When he reached the front door, again Kyle's eyes were scanned, and again the message was voiced.
Welcome home, Mr. Winters.
His feed was going haywire. Information and coding were filing through at breakneck speed. Up above, the puffy white clouds were shifting with a slight unnaturalness of movement, as again he heard the message.
Welcome home, Mr. Winters.
Kyle blinked. Standing in the doorway was Jessie, his Jessie.
Darling, are you okay?
The woman took Kyle's hand. She was wearing a fashionable black dress. Her hair was tied back, and she looked a little older, more mature.
Kyle squeezed her hand back.
Jessie, is that really you?
Of course it is, darling, said the woman, throwing her head back and laughing.
My goodness, you look terrible.
The woman dragged him towards her and gave him a peck on the cheek.
Lucky you caught me, she said. I was just about to leave for the office.
Yeah, sure, said Kyle.
He needed to sit down. His whole world was spinning.
And I live here with you?
When you're not out gallivanting. The woman laughed.
Whose birthday was it this time? Stay in your old apartment again?
Her expression seemed bright, though the smile itself was something to be wary of, an expression Kyle recognized. She squeezed him playfully.
Hope you didn't get into any trouble down there, mister.
No, none at all, said Kyle, almost automatically.
He put a hand up to his head.
Honestly, I don't seem to remember.
Well, I've reminded you enough times to not come home to me in that state, the woman tutted.
Grabbing his hand, she pulled him along to the next inner door. Their eyes were scanned, and then they were entering a vast open space. There was wood-paneled flooring and a wide spiral staircase leading to the second and third levels. The walls were of a rainforest simulation, bird chatter and the distant sound of a roaring jaguar as she pulled him along to another door ahead. In this new space, there was a kitchen area with marble worktops. The woman twisted theatrically and then backed up against the polished stone sink, pulling him closer into a passionate kiss.
And I suppose now you want to apologize to me?
She breathed, kissing him still, chewing at his lip.
Now look here, Jesse,
Kyle said, half pushing her away.
I gotta ask you a few things. I gotta know what the hell's going on here, because you wouldn't believe.
Don't talk, the woman moaned, pulling him back at her.
Just take me, right here.
She had a hold of him with her legs.
But you don't understand, because my job, I work on the other side of the city, for a bank, Sears Bank. I have clients. I authorize the pickups. That's why I was so...
Oh, Kyle.
Jesse, stop! Kyle grabbed at her wrists. You tell me what on Jupiter's going on here?
His feed was telling him that her heart rate was 120 BPM. It was telling him she was the Jesse he knew, but that her surname was now Winters. 2 years and 3 months ago, they'd been married on Psalm Island.
Oh, poor baby, she said to him. Nothing's going on at all. You're here with me, and that's all there is to it. You don't work for any silly old bank. That's just your dream. You've been having it again, haven't you?
Twisting out of his grip, the woman put a hand up to his face and hair.
My poor husband,
she was saying, holding him close and kissing him.
How about we both take the day off?
It says on the contact feed there's a virus going around.
Jesse, look here, I'm serious. Why don't I remember? Or rather, why do I?
Don't worry, darling. Everything is as it should be. Your life is perfect. Everything is perfect, she whispered. My poor baby.
She was smothering him.
God damn it!
Kyle pushed her away. Stumbling to the sink, he washed his face in cold water and turned back at her, bleary-eyed.
The Jesse I knew wasn't like this. Wasn't like this at all.
I'm your wife.
Who are you?
He screamed. His feed was piling up with added coating.
Damn it! Who are you? What kind of setup is this?
A message was coming through his visual feed. Mr. Kyle Winters.
Yes, that's me.
Please remove your lenses, it said.
Why? What in the hell is going on here?
Kyle shifted around desperately. The woman had grabbed him and was again trying to kiss him. But now, the message had turned to audio. Your position. Bank. Compromised. Identity theft. Must. Immediately.
I don't understand,
shouted Kyle into the air between him and the woman.
Just ignore it, she was saying, her lips soft. Stay here with me. I need you.
I have to get back to the bank.
No, darling, stay.
We, fixing, problem, in, current. Suddenly there was a burning sensation in Kyle's eyes, and he ripped at his lenses, peeling them off, and for the first time all day, reality set in. The room became darker, murkier.
Where the hell? What the hell?
The woman before Kyle. Her hair was the same color, the black dress remained, and she was certainly pretty, young and pretty. She looked similar to Jesse, similar enough to the Jesse he'd once known, but this girl was not her.
Who are you? What is this?
Frowning, the girl moved quickly. She gave him a sharp jab to the temple, professional and effective. The last thing Kyle remembered thinking was of how an imposter of such beauty could install such an intense feeling of horror. So strange, he thought, as he fell to his knees and over. When Kyle woke, he was alone. He had no idea what time it was or where he was. Feeling around for the lenses he had discarded, his hands came upon the rough concrete floor. He was in a building. But of course, he had no idea. Without his contacts, without the feed that he and everyone else had grown to rely upon so much, his access to the net had been severed, and he felt naked, lost. Was this how humanity had lived before the invention of the contacts? Kyle put a hand to his temple. There was bruising. No blood. He stood up unsteadily, scratching his fingers against the wall. Across from him was a tap protruding from a series of bare pipings. This was where he had washed his face. He'd turned to the girl. "I am your wife," she'd said. But though Jesse still existed somewhere in this city, the woman he'd been talking to hadn't been Jesse at all. Kyle shook his head, and again, out of habit, he looked to his visual feed for help. A visual feed that was no longer there. Was this a new building in construction, or an old building due to be renovated? It seemed abandoned, empty. Dusty surfaces and an open doorway ahead. Outside, it must be daytime, for there were partial rays of sunlight. He'd have to adjust to being disconnected from the net. He was the victim here, a victim of identity theft, is what the message had said. Kyle thought. So his contacts had been corrupted. Someone had replaced him at the bank, and who knew what had been stolen? His job held responsibility. Hell, he handled hard currency every day. Baby steps, mumbled Kyle to himself, his hand scraping along the wall. I need to report a crime, he said softly, and then louder. I need to report a crime. Somebody help me. Outside, there was a taxi, burning sun and starch white streets. Kyle banged on the taxi's windows. I need to report a crime, he shouted.
Identification not recognized, came the automated reply.
Of course it didn't. Without his contacts, the taxi moved away slowly.
God damn it!
Under the bright sunlight, Kyle lay down on the pavement.
Damn it all!
He yelled at the sky. But then he was laughing, for a thought had just occurred. How far away was he from Dobson's conglomerate? He knew for a fact that Jesse still worked there. That part, at least, was true. In the open air, Kyle stumbled. Without the feed, without his contacts, he had no idea where he was. But for the first time in years, he knew where he wanted to be.
Oh, Jesse,
he muttered drunkenly, staggering along the sidewalk.
You wouldn't believe the day I've had. You wouldn't believe it in a million years.
He began laughing noisily, sniffling.
I thought I'd lost you, Jesse.
A community officer was running up to him.
Mr. Kyle Winters?
Yeah, that's me,
Kyle replied, bleary-eyed and smiling.
Kyle Winters, at your service,
he bowed.
Kyle Winters, the one and only, and I'd like to report a crime.
Come with me, sir. Everything is under control.
The community officer smiled.
Seems someone tried to replace you at the bank. Tried to trick you into thinking you did his job and he did yours. But we got on to his gag.
Kyle laughed, patting the officer on the shoulder. He no longer needed his contacts to pick up on the tone of apology. In fact, he was getting used to this augmented reality.
Okay, bud, Kyle answered as the officer continued to ramble. I'll come with you, but first things first. I need a favor. Take me to Dobson's conglomerate. There's someone I have to see.
Did you know Anchor FM is now Spotify for podcasters? You may notice it's becoming easier and easier to interact with us and support the show.
We love our listeners, fans, and patrons, like Osprey Park, who writes, "Amazing! Can't wait to listen to the new monthly tales. Listen to all many times. Truly amazing writing and awesome reading. Keep up the good work. Share this podcast with your family and friends." Thank you so much, Osprey Park, for your 5-star review. We love listeners and fans like you. If you're a fan like Osprey Park, please share this podcast with your friends and family and anybody who might be a sci-fi buff. We know they'll love it. And if you'd like to support the show for about 1 cup of coffee a month, you can go to the link on the bottom of the show notes in every episode and find a Support This Podcast link. We value bringing original, high-quality short stories to you every month, and we appreciate your support to keep this podcast ad-free. Thank you so much, and have a great day.